Go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to continue in a brief series entitled, My God Shall Supply All Your Need. And this message is significant because we're learning about resources. We're learning about God as our source. We're appreciating even more what it means to have things. But more importantly, to recognize that the things we have, whether a lot or a little, are always limited. Say, my resources are limited. But God is my source is unlimited. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to review just a bit before I get into more content for today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, not that I speak in respect or regard to need, for I have learned, whatever state I am in, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now, in this letter, in chapter 4 of this letter, Paul is commending the Philippian church for helping him. He was a founding apostle. He founded the church, and they were supporting him as they should. But he made it clear that he thanked them for the support, acknowledged the support, but made it clear that as much as I appreciate what you've done, you're not my source. You have provided for me resources, but Paul said, I have learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. Now, why would somebody need to learn how to be abased? Abased means, you know, going through difficulty, having been brought low for whatever reasons. I mean, why would someone need to know how to be abased? The reason is to know how to handle yourself in difficult times. You know, everybody can be happy when the money's coming in. You're getting paid and getting increases, getting raises and all this. But if the company goes away and that job goes away, then you feel abased. You are abased in the sense that something has gone wrong, it seems. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I can handle it. Not because he's saying, I accept it. It's my new role in life. It's my new lifestyle. No, he's just saying, I know how to handle this part of my life. Then he said, I know how to abound. Well, who needs a lesson for that? Everybody can handle abundance, right? No. No. Some folk come into some money and lose their mind. Just lose their mind. Ooh, I got some. How much money you got? I got $1,000. That's not any money. It seems like, well, if you've been broke, $1,000 is like a whole lot of money. But $1,000 for how long? Oh, for the next 3 months. No, that's not too much money for 3 months. The point is, know how to abound. Know how to be abased. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. If a whole lot of money comes in, just act normal. You say, well, praise God. If it all goes away, say, hey, praise God. Right? Don't jump off the cliff if it goes away, and don't jump over the moon if it comes in. Because all that stuff is called what? Resources. Resources, whether you have a lot or a little, it's always limited. So Paul said, I know how to be abased, how to be abound, how to abound. Paul said, everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. So we learn how to handle ourselves in these circumstances. It's important because there we learn not to trust in resources, not to trust in money. Don't trust in the job. Don't trust in the government. Trust in God. He won't change. He won't flip on you. He says, both to abound and suffer need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things in context, meaning I can handle all things bad and all things good. I don't get the big head. I don't get lost in depression. I mean, I'm not going up or down. too far, because I know, I've learned all this stuff out here is called resources. Say resources. Goes on there, verse 14, skip ahead a little bit. Verse 17 says, not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So Paul wasn't saying, I'm trying to get your money. No, not from me. He says, you should give to God and bless God's work so you can be connected to the source. See, when you do what God says and give what God's given you and you sow that and share that, what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, you're my source. All this here are my resources. And so because you are my source, I can share my resources. Because there's more coming from where I get all this stuff from. Amen? The biggest test you have in life, really sometimes, is to see, you know, how much in love with your stuff are you? Does your stuff have you, or do you have your stuff? Big difference, isn't it? Told you last week I was in Starbucks. I got my laptop out, had my iPad out, you know, and all that. And a person came and said, don't you just love that? Love it? I said, no, I don't love it. I like it. Oh, come on. You love it? No, I don't. I really don't love this stuff. You know, I got iPad. I've given iPads away. And I mean, point is, I got some pretty good stuff, but they're all just resources. I don't ever make the mistake of thinking this stuff is my source. Because there was a time when I didn't have none of this stuff. I mean, before it was available, I didn't have the old version of this stuff. You know, so then, you know, how many of you learned to be abased? You know, how to learn how to, not to just love it, but how to handle yourself and get through it. Some folk go down and don't come back up because they were so attached to the stuff. When the stuff went away, they had connected their identity to the stuff. And now the stuff is gone, and now I'm gone. What am I going to do? Well, who was your source? My job was my source. No, your job was not your source. You just thought it was. It was your job was a resource. Everything's a resource. Everything down here is a resource. Say it's a resource. So Paul said, I don't seek a gift. I'm not trying to get money off. He says, I seek fruit that abounds to your account. Then he said, verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So then this scripture, 19, we claim it. My God shall supply all my need. Amen. Now, hold on, not stop. He's not talking to you. Verse 19 is not talking to you or me. He's talking to whom? The Philippians, the people to whom the letter was written. Why did he say, my God shall supply? Because they had already done what God said do. Now, it is scripture. So it can be applicable to us if we do what they did, right? Same promise comes to us. Is that correct? So that's why we have to be careful just going claiming a scripture. No, don't claim a scripture. Claim the word. Don't my favorite verse. Don't have a favorite verse. Have a favorite God. Have a favorite source. Amen, somebody? He says, verse 28, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's his praise to God as the source. So I've been reflecting on this concept of source and resource, or source and resource the past couple of weeks. And think about how we get things, how things happen. Here we are, you know, a smaller congregation in an almost paid out building, you know, with resources and things over the years God's blessed us with. We've got favor with Lilly Endowment and all this going on, and we have great resources available to us. I've got access to great people for media camps and, you know, our volunteer team here in the church. We just have all these resources. And yet we've never lost sight that God is our source. In fact, it came to my mind on the way driving here. I can't turn in the Bible now. I can't find the scripture. But it came to my mind. There was a king called Nebuchadnezzar who, at one point in his kingship, if you will, his reign, he came out and came on a balcony, looked out and said, oh, look at all this that I have done. Oh, so wonderful. I'm just, and while the, he said, and the Bible says, while the word was in his mouth, while the, he was finishing the sentence, you know, something happened to him. That God just judged him, and result, he fell out, and the Bible says he began to look like an animal. I mean, he just transformed over a period of time and became insane. And, you know, nails grew long and all this. The man just lost his mind. God said, I don't think so. You didn't do all that. It's not you. So you know, that just came to mind that there's just no reason for us to look at our things and stuff and act like it's just what I've, it's all mine. Look what I've done. Oh, no, give God the glory. Say, give God the glory. Now, thank God for stuff. Now, I got some God. I like my stuff. I don't love it, though. Because the stuff you love, I had an old car I thought was the greatest little Ford Granada. You heard the Granada story before, little black Granada. You know the story. You know where I'm going with this. Back in the 70s. And I thought it was the nicest car I ever seen. I hadn't seen many cars, you know. That's the kind of thing you say. You ain't seen a whole lot. Boy raised in the hood, got his first shiny car, like the best car in the world. And, you know, I didn't make the payment, though. Repo man called. So Dad came and rescued me and put the car for sale in front of his house. So everybody could see, you know, I lost my car, you know. That kind of messed my mind up a little bit, you know. Like, can you move it, like, to the park or around the corner somewhere? No, in front of the house. Then Dad called me, brought me down to his shop. He had a car for me. Called me, oh, I got a car. Thank you, Dad. There's an old, get it right this time, was a Maverick, red. No, listen, primer red. Wasn't even painted. It's primer red. Stick shift on the column, like a pickup truck, you know, not a stick shift on the floor, you just shift real cool. No, you got to go up, back, down, up, you know. One, two, three. Reverse, huh? Three on the tree. Now, my point is, see, I had just gotten saved, and I was still full of me. And so the first little thing I got, this little car, I thought it was all that. And God doesn't like it when we boast about our stuff and we don't give him the glory. So that car went away. And Dad helped me out, and I was so ashamed. I was trying to drive that car that had no air conditioning. So you couldn't roll the windows up and not be seen, you know what I'm saying? You know, just with no way out. You know, I try to go low and lean over and hand coming up, shift the gears and all this. It just, you know, he couldn't be cool. There was no way to be cool in this car. You know what happened to me? I'm like, you know what, Lord? I got a car to drive. You know, you provided through my dad. I messed up, couldn't pay this thing. My dad came, bailed me out. You were my source through my dad, and I'm driving a car. And then you know what happened? I began to enjoy that whole deal. I had fun. I'm shifting up. I got me an 8-track player. Put it in the bottom down there. Amen, somebody. Amen. Play my music. If I miss the song, got to wait for the next time for it to come around. Y'all know about that. Wasn't no rewind. Wasn't no rewind. It's just forward only. Fast forward, but no backwards. My point is, I'm glad that God didn't do me like Nebuchadnezzar. I'm glad I had enough sense to say, Father, thank you. And I'll never, ever trust in my resources again. I'll only always trust you. And because of that, God's giving me more stuff than what to do with. So once God trusts you to love him always, he will make you rich. He'll do whatever he wants to do. Don't have any concern about what you'll do with what he gives you, because he already found out, and you found out. It's been settled. I trust God. Amen? Amen? So we talked about three aspects of God's economy, how everything works, how we get into the resources and receive from God. There's three things. First is we receive. Say, I receive. Second is, I give. Say, I give. And third is, I receive. Say, I receive. So receive, give, receive. Now, I thought first, earlier, I thought, you know what, it's about giving and receiving. No, no, because giving implies you're doing something first. First, you receive from God. Receive what? Everything. Your life come from God. Your intelligence and ability to work a job came from God. So we receive from him. He also gave us seed to sow, something to give and share. And then second, now we give ourselves to God. So we give to God, not just money, we give our hearts, our talents, our time, our resources to God. And of course, the seed we have, we sow. Because part of what God gave you, the seed you have, is a part of what you have called seed. Seed is designed for sowing. Now, some folk eat seed, you know, there's like sunflower seeds and white beans and all that kind of stuff. I don't like eating seed. I do eat, you know, some like beans and stuff. I don't like them. I grew up, you know, having beans all the time. I've had enough beans to last me a lifetime. My point is, when God gives you seed, you need to sow it. Because he gave that seed to you like the farmer has seed. If the farmer ate all of his seed, he couldn't plant a crop, right? He couldn't be in farming very long. You must plant what is designed for sowing. So we give that part. And then third, we receive increase. Increase. You increase first God's kingdom, and then you personally increase. So what we do with what God gave us is how God helps everything happen in his kingdom. I mean, we went to Africa last November. Couldn't have gone there unless people had sown and helped us to go. If someone didn't sow a seed, there's no Africa trip. There's no fruit. There's no churches being established and being built up. There's no orphanage being supported. The point is, we do all this. And then, so the result is, these churches in Africa or wherever, they grow. People get saved in those churches, right? Children come to the orphanage, get educated, live a successful life. So there's increase. There's increase for the purposes for which the seed was sown. And then we increase. God blesses us. You know, there are not really many broke Christians. Not really many broke Christians. A lot of Christians, in fact, are doing very well. Some Christians are actually rich. And not for wrong reasons. Sometimes, listen, God just blesses you. Talking to a friend of mine, he was in a place of need, and I know him for a long time friend, and he had a real hard place in his life, and he had tires in his car, had just gone bald, and went to get the tires serviced. And the guy said, no, we can't service these tires because there's too little tread to service them. He was in a real hard place. He was, you know, at a based moment. He couldn't afford new tires. So we cannot service these tires. And he just stuck. So I don't know what to do. And God just said, I'm going to give you four tires. This discount tire did this. Now, don't go up there asking the same thing. Don't get no ideas now. Well, I heard Pastor say he knew a guy. No. This was his story. It's not your story. Because I know this brother, and that he is a giver. He understands resource and source. And so God saw fit to cause the man at the tire store to give him four tires. That's amazing, y'all. That's like, you know what tires cost? He got a big old boat of a car too, you know. So these are things that God can do. So then we do receive. We do receive, but because our focus is correct. We don't receive to add to our collection of stuff. We receive to add to the purpose of God. Help somebody. Help somebody. Make somebody's life better. And so we're blessed as a result. Now, definitions, resource, source. Resource is a supply of money, material, staff, and other assets that can be drawn upon by a person or organization in order to function effectively. All right, so we have resources, of course, in the church. You have resources in your household. Then source is a point of origin, key words, point of origin or procurement anything or place from which something comes, arises, or is obtained. There's the thing, point of origin. What's the point of origin? Well, for us, he's God, amen? My point of origin is not my job, not my country, not my family, my parents. I mean, God is my point of origin. So when we keep this issue straight of resources and source, then we can really understand how life works. The Bible says in Luke 12, 15, he said, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. So the covet is to have, to see what somebody has and think, man, I gotta have that. It's because you saw them have it. Before you saw it, you didn't want it. You didn't care. Like, you know, sometimes we see, now, I was saying, wait, I had an old car, and I see somebody driving in a truly nice car with truly nice everything, you know. Well, all I can do is give me some wheels and some hubcaps, you know, give them shiny wheels in there. Dude, save the money. Don't buy the wheels. Get a better car, man. Invest into a better car. All your money's in the wheels, you know. But I have to have these wheels to help me keep up with whoever, and really I'm not keeping up with them at all. Covetousness makes us kind of crazy like that, amen? All right, so he says, life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. You know something? So having a lot of stuff doesn't say that we're blessed. Gangsters got stuff, right? People who employ slave labor and low-wage labor and illegal aliens, you know, make a bunch of money off them people. So having stuff is no measurement necessarily of God's blessings. So Christ said, no, that's all about resource. We're talking about the source now. The Bible says in Psalm 33, here's a new verse for this week. I'm going down to a new part of the message. Psalm 33, verse 16, watch this. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. So the king is not saved by the size of the army. The king, the mighty man, not made free, delivered by his great strength. See, people think that it's their resources that make them who they are. And that's a problem today. It's a problem today. From the street corner to the White House. Come on, somebody. You know, all your stuff don't make you. It's your character that makes you. Your character. Take money away from some people. What do you got? Absolutely nothing. I was going to say nothing, but somebody, you know, modified. So resources, we know that having stuff don't make you great. God makes us great. Amen. Wisdom of God makes us great. So then, let me get down to our story for today. I want to share with you. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. Let me get to the part I want to share today. I had a review to give you some background. 1 Chronicles 29. So we don't want to misunderstand resource, and then that becomes a barrier to connect with our source. And David gave an example of this perspective when it came time to build the tabernacle. Now, bear in mind that way back in the day, Moses built this tent, and this tent was called the tabernacle. It was fabric, and that's where God's presence was. But David came along and wanted to build a structure, a building, you know, for God. So it says, verse 1, furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and experienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. So David knew that his son would be the one who would build a temple, but David got the resources together to help his son get that done. And made a point, our point is the same, that the temple, the building, is not for man, but for God. So this building is not for man, it's for God. We use it for the glory of God. We serve people, but it's for God. So then, 1 Chronicles 29, come down to verse 9. So they they received an offering, and people gave a tremendous amount of resource and money and substance and things. Verse 9 says, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. So the folk gave a tremendous offering. Now, they gave gold and silver and all kind of stuff. Question, class, where did the people get all that stuff from? Egypt. Remember that? When they left Egypt, man, God dealt with them. He dealt with Egypt so strong that when the when Pharaoh said, you can't go, you can't go, you can't go, and God said, he kept, you know, hammering the guy. So he said, okay, God, they can go. Please go. Would you please go? And as they left, the Bible says, they gave them gold. They gave them silver. The Egyptians gave Israel all this stuff on the way out of Egypt. So they had it. They had it. They had resources that came from God's source, who delivered them from Egypt and took stuff out of Egypt with them. And so that's why they had to give. The point was that David saw that, because he could have said, this is my gold, this is my trinket, this is my bracelet. You know, this is what I got. They gave me this. My former slave master gave me this hat, whatever, from Egypt. No, all this stuff I got, I didn't get this. This is not my stuff. God allowed me to have this. But here's a deep part of this. Verse 12. David said this, very powerful. It says, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all source. Your hand in your hand is power and might. Not in my hand, God, your hand. Your hand, in your hand, it is to make great and give strength to all. That's what sources sound like, right? God's source. Verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you, and we praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you. He asked the question, how can we give like this? Answer, for all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. I can only give what God's given me. So all the resources I have, they come from God. And if God wants some of it, God's got it. Lord, here. Pfft. And the thing is, God doesn't even want everything. He wants just some. Every now and then. You see, you know, now, well, I mean, every now and then, like every, you know, whenever he asks for it. The point is, this is so foundational that every Christian, everybody who understands the perspective of resources and source will never have lack, at least not long-term lack. There'll be seasons of that, but I mean, on the whole, you're always going up. I mean, you may go up and come down a little bit and resume going up. Amen, somebody? Because, you know, we have trials, we have tests, don't we? It's part of life. But the point is that everything we have come from God, and of his own we're given. How can I say no to God? How can I say no? I'm not going to support this building fund, that mission, that church. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Why do you say that? Because this is my money. Now, be careful, Nebuchadnezzar. Watch that attitude. I'm not prophesying, you know, anything like that. But sometimes, in fact, God is so merciful today, folk actually mess up and nothing goes wrong, you know, because God loves us. The point is, in our hearts, I don't need judgment to make me pay attention. I just love God enough to pay attention. And I've seen the fruit of God's work in my life. My wife and I, we married 38 years. You know, numbers sometimes just hit you like, really? 35 years pastoring, 38 years married. Yeah, all that. Yes, sir. To God be the glory. Amen. Four beautiful children, two grandkids. Now, I got two. We grandparents. You know, Pastor, like, don't call me grandma, call me Nana. All right. I said, call me whatever. So they call me Papa. I'm Papa. Papa and Nana. It's cute. Wow. All that's happened, you know. And by the grace of God. Even the children are not mine. They belong to God. Everybody come from God. We get to be stewards and do the best we can with what God gives. Because knowing this come from God, be careful how you handle this or him or her. Because it all come from God. Y'all believe that? So recognizing your source will put you into a position to receive from your source. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now, every year, thank God, we get two grants from Lilly Endowment. We get a grant for Media Camp. We have received it for the past several years, like 19 years. And we get a grant for Christmas holiday support. How many of you know that if we didn't show, we didn't respect Lilly Endowment and do what they asked us to do in a timely manner, they wouldn't offer us something the year after. You know, I mean, you don't just mess up with them and they come back, hey, we got more for you. Oh, no, no. We do things in the proper way, obviously. And so that they have become, in this sense, a resource. But in my mind, it's still God's source. But then Lily is so generous until they've got so much money. You know what? They don't even give their money. They don't even give their money. They give the interest off the money. They got so much, it's called an endowment. They've got so much, they've had so much money until they've invested it, and the investments have been so great, they're giving off of the return on the investment. That's like serious level, y'all. That's like really heavy duty stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, we all just kind of give when what come in goes out. These folks, nothing goes out. It always comes in. And what goes out, they could have kept. So I appreciate them for that. Obviously, it also is testament to, you know, the fact that you must respect resources and those who offer that. And so, but the point is, again, that if we don't respect God as our source, or said differently, when we recognize God as our source, then, you know, things work much better for us. You know, he's our source, and we're acknowledging him, we're worshiping, honoring God. And so it keeps that relationship strong. And God wants to always bless us, but sometimes we just hinder that. We hinder. God's not ever saying no. God's saying, I can't. Can't get it through to you. You're in the wrong place. I'm doing it over here and you're over there. Right? Now, I only missed one flight in my whole life. Thank God. Hallelujah. One flight. Came close now. I missed some others. LAX. LA Airport. And I went to the wrong gate. Plane's over there. I'm over here. That never gets you anywhere in life. You know what I mean? You're not going anywhere. You roll up to this gate, and the plane's at that gate. You can LAX, you just can't go run from here to there because like LAX is like a big, it's big, like a city. You can, if it's so big, you come into it, you come down one way, you can't see the end of it, then you turn and go the other way and can't see the end. It's like a big U. And so I was on the wrong side of that big U. And the rental car bus had dropped me off with my luggage. So it's like it's over, man. You know, it's all messed up now. You know, the buses go, hey man, come on. No, no, no. It just showed me the point is, you know, let's just be where God is. Just be where God is. Be where God is. He's not saying, no, you're out of place. You're just out of position. And so get back in position. Get back in position. Now, the closest thing that we can understand to relate to as being a source is raising children. Think about this. That to your children, parents, you are the source, right? Especially when it's small, you are the source to them. Humans are born dependent, and, you know, for a long time. Children can't be on their own until like, what, 17, 18, 20, 30, 35. No, 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 no. No. Depends. But for whatever length of time it is, that's why, you know, my son Michael, I look at him, man, he's such a good dad, and he is so focused. Oh, my goodness. He's focused and loving and all that. He's responsible. Changing diapers, everything, man. He's responsible. He and his wife brought two people into this world. So nothing focuses you like having to raise some children. And children don't know until they get children, you know what I'm saying? And when you get them, like, oh, my goodness, dad and mom did this, all that. We understand, yeah, we did all that. It's amazing. So the point is, even though parents are not the source, ultimately, it's the best example to understand what parents do for children. They must do everything, not some things. They must do everything for that small child. Is that correct? Not some things. Everything. Everything. So then we grow up, and we now as adults recognize that that's how I see God. He does everything for me. He uses people. He brings things to me. But I never mistake my resource for my source. That clear? All right. Look at 2 Kings 6. Let's do one final story here. Illustrate the power of God's source. This story involves Elisha, the prophet named Elisha. And we'll have bullet points on this to explain it to you. The first point is that 2 Kings chapter 6. The first point is God is always way ahead of your enemy. There it is. I'll go back on that one. He's always way ahead. Now, I don't mean people. I mean enemy of circumstances, things that come against you. I mean that. Now, so it says this in text. Now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God, the prophet Elisha, sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware, you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So basically, when the Syrian king made plans, God told Elisha the prophet, and the prophet told Israel, don't go over there. You can't win no battle, man, when plans are being given away. So it says in verse 10, the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told them. Thus he warned him to be watchful there, and not just once or twice. So several times, every time the Syrian king made a battle plan, God told Elisha, Elisha told Israel's king, and every time they weren't successful in attacking Israel. See, God is way ahead. Say, God's way ahead of my enemies, all right? Now, next point. Verse 11, actually the same scripture, but says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. You think? And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Is a spy among us. Is somebody among us who's telling Israel our plans. Next point. God knows the plan of your enemy and thwarts that plan. God knows the plan. The plans of the enemy. Circumstances, whatever is coming down the pike, he knows. Verse 12. And one of his servants said, none, Lord, none of us, Lord, but, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So the king of Syria just told his wife or told somebody what he was doing. God heard it, told Elisha. Elisha told the king of Israel. Verse 13. So he said, go see where he is. Go find this guy that I may send and get him. I gotta get this Elisha. He's messing up our thing. He just got to get this guy. And it was told to him, surely he is in Dothan. So Elisha was there. He wasn't even hiding, right? He wasn't hiding. He just was there. Next point. God surrounds the enemy that surrounds you. Say God surrounds the enemy that surrounds me. Verse 14. Therefore the king sent horses and chariots and a great army. He sent horses and chariots and a big army to get one man, one guy. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots and all kind of resources of the enemy. Now, get the picture? So here are Elisha and his servant. You know, don't know it. They're sleeping at night. Syrian king sends the whole army. They surround the city. And so the servant get up and get some water or use the bathroom or something, you know, and get up and then look and say, oh, my goodness, because they were visible. They were in array. And so the servant walked around and looked over here. He looked north. He looked south. He looked east. He looked west. Everywhere he looked, all he saw was the enemy and didn't look happy and didn't have longs, donuts, and coffee. Come on. They had swords and shields. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And these words betray his panic, you know. You got to imagine him like, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Elisha answered, took a sip of coffee, piece of long donut. He said, do not fear. I'm just, you know, exaggerating. Do not fear. Do not fear. Man, this is a perfect time to be afraid. This is the exact moment we should be afraid right here. He said, do not fear. For those, and he said something more crazy. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And that was the most astonishing statement in that context, because the servant can only see Elisha, him, and all this army around. And Elisha had the audacity to say, there's more with us than with them. So then he's saying, in our context, they brought all these resources, military resources, to capture me. But my source is more. Certainly, I don't get it, Lord. I don't get it. Verse 16. So he said, verse 17, Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And next point is, when your eyes are open, you see your source more than your limited resources. It says, so then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wow. And here's what's really most amazing to me is that Elisha didn't see it. He just knew it. He didn't need to see it. He already knew it was there. But the young man had to see it. And so he saw around the enemy's resources was God's resource. God's source put chariots of fire. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. Sounds dangerous to me, though. He didn't say just horses and chariots. He said horses and chariots of fire. That just sounds crazy, like fire. It's like, so the Assyrians had like spears and shields and arrows and bows. God's army got like fire, you know. I mean, big horses, chariots. And so Syrians brought, the old saying, they brought a knife to a gunfight, you know. So the point is this, though. That's what happened when the young man's eyes were open. And then he could calm down. See, he didn't understand. The young man didn't understand the power of God as source. He only saw, man, we lack resources here. We don't have enough resources to handle what they've sent down here against us. But once your eyes are open, listen, here it is. When your eyes open, let your eyes stay open. When your eyes come open to God's source, as source, let them stay open. That's the trick to life. The key is, the secret is, once you see, keep seeing. Once God showed himself faithful to you, don't think he goes back to being unfaithful. Final point, you can redirect, well, 2 points. You can redirect your enemy. Verse 19, this is funny here, actually. Now, Elisha said to them, well, actually, let me finish the story. Verse 18. So it says, verse 18, so when the Syrians came down to him, they began approaching, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So God made all of them Syrians blind. As they all became blind as they were approaching. So when it got to him, verse 19 says, now Elisha said to them, this is not the way. These aren't the joys you're looking for, okay? Okay. This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. Now you're messing with him now. They blind, right? So, hey, guys, no, follow me. Follow me. So off goes Elijah and his servant and a whole army. So Elijah got his coffee and his donut and his longs. Follow me, God. And so they follow Elisha. Verse 20, so it was when they had come into Samaria, Elisha said, open the eyes of these men that they may see. Kind of reversal, you know, of fortune here. And they opened their eyes and they saw they were inside of Samaria. He led them straight to the Israel camp. The whole army walked them right into the city. And so, this is amazing. So then this shows you how, I mean, this was a very critical, dangerous, lethal situation, but God, as source, turned it all around and made it so that the enemy became captive. They went to capture Elisha, ended up being captured. Verse 21. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, my father, should I kill him? Should I kill him? You know, they were there. Here's the final point. When you have the advantage, you don't have to always take the advantage. That would have been, they could have just killed a whole Syrian army at one time. Just killed every one of those guys. King said, should I do it? Should I kill them? Elisha said, nope, shouldn't kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive, or is they prisoners of war? One version says, would you kill prisoners of war? So then they weren't going to be killed. Elisha showed God's mercy upon them. I mean, the men were just sent, right, by the dumb king, right? Wasn't their fault. But it says this, though. So he said to them, set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he said, don't kill them, feed them. They captured the whole army. He said, feed these men and send them back to their master. Verse 23, they prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away unto their master. Watch this. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Either two things happened. Either the king wouldn't send them, or the guy said, we're not going back over there.